Galatians chapter number 4, beginning in verse number 1, Paul said, "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from the servant, though he be Lord of all. But he is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son unto your heart, saying, or crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you take now the message, Lord, that you might use it today. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you might just lift us into heavenly places. Lord, that we might see you. Father, that this time of year may we be indeed thankful, grateful for the great gift that you gave to us. Lord, I pray that you'd empower us today through the Holy Ghost of God. I pray, God, that you might just use us today. Oh, God, I pray for that one today that may be sitting here. Lord, that needs this message, speak to that heart today. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. Thank you, beloved. You may be seated. And if you'll hold your Bible open, please. I'm preaching on the subject this morning, God's Christmas present to you. God's Christmas present to you. The Bible said here in Galatians chapter number 4, and look if you would in verse number 4, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law." Imagine with me if you would please, back in the Old Testament, those prophets like Isaiah, Malachi, some of those other men of God, those prophets, as they began to write and they began to prophesy about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. When Isaiah wrote that in Isaiah chapter number 9, it was 740 years before the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. When Isaiah said, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Little did Isaiah realize that 740 years after he penned those words, the Lord Jesus Christ would be born. When Malachi wrote in Malachi's prophecy and prophesies about the coming of the Lord, 400 years transpired from the close of Malachi until the beginning of the book of Matthew. Can you imagine that, my friend? My friend, during that time frame, even though heaven was silent, even though that they had not heard from God for 400 years, God was still working. God was working out His plan. For you see here in Galatians, he says, "And when the fullness of the time was come," there were several things that had to transpire before Jesus was to be born. There were several prophecies that had to come to pass before Jesus was to be born. One of those things was that Rome would come up and take over Jerusalem. Rome would lay siege unto Jerusalem. For you find there that when Jesus was born, because of the taxation, that the Bible says that Mary and Joseph had to flee and take the young child down into Nazareth, or before he was born, down into Nazareth. And there her days were accomplished that Jesus would be born. That was the fulfillment of Micah chapter 5 in verse 2, where the Bible said, "But thou, Bethlehem, Euphrata, though thou be least among those nations, yet out of thee shall come forth a ruler." You see, beloved, God's timetable runs right on time. God's train is never late. You may have some things going in your life today. You may come to your wit's end. You may come to a place in your life, say, "God, I just don't understand. Heaven seems like it's brass. It doesn't seem like I'm getting a prayer through." And yet God's timetable is still a rolling on. You see, beloved, just because we don't see what's happening today God is still at work. God is working behind the scenes, as it was in the days here when Jesus was born, as the fullness of time, when everything was right, when everything was ready, when everything was in place. God sent forth His Son to be born of a virgin, conceived without the help of man, born of a virgin so that He could escape the sin curse. The Bible says here, Jesus Christ is God's greatest Christmas gift. God never gives anything but the best. Amen? God is not in the business of giving secondhand presents. God's not in the business of giving secondhand gifts. I know sometimes, and maybe you've had this to happen, but there are some folks that have this re-gifting. In other words, somebody gives you something, and it's something that you really can't use, and so you just kind of tuck it aside until you find somebody else that you can give that to. Amen. But God never gives, He never gives you second best. He doesn't go down to the thrift store and get something. Thank God He gives His very, very best. And He gave His best through the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said in James chapter 1 verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Thanks be unto God, He said in 2 Corinthians 9:14. The Bible said, Paul said, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Paul said, I can't even put it into words how great a gift this was. Christmas is that time of year that it is blessed to give gifts to people. It's the time of year that we think about others. It's the time of year that we get together with family and friends and we exchange those gifts and giving. And beloved, the very fact that the many times the enormous amount of money that is spent during Christmas time on gifts every year. But as we think about the gifts that are given at Christmas time, let us remember that the Bible said in John chapter 3 and verse 16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. The Heavenly Father, my friend, gave the first Christmas present. The Bible said in Romans chapter 8, in verse 32, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Salvation is a gift of God. If it was something that we earned or something we worked for, it would not be a gift. I would dare say that those of you that will gather on Christmas morning or perhaps Christmas Eve and pull the presents out from under the tree and they take them over and give them to this person and give them to that person. They begin to unwrap them and they say, okay, well, thank you for this, but how much do I owe you? What do I pay for this? You say it's not any money involved because it's a gift. A gift would not be a gift if you had to pay for it. So it is, my friend, the greatest gift of all was not placed under the tree, but it was placed on the tree. Thank God for His unspeakable gift. You say, preacher, what did He give us? I want to tell you very quickly by way of introduction, the gift of God in John chapter 3 and verse number 16. First of all, it is a gift that was unsolicited. It was not a gift that we asked for. Many times this time of year, folk will come to you and they'll say, what can I get you for Christmas? They'll ask mama or daddy, what do you need? We want to get you something for Christmas. They'll try to find out what you're wanting for Christmas. All the little children will go by and sit on Santa's lap and they'll tell him what they want for Christmas. My friend, can I tell you that the gift of God was unsolicited. It was not something we asked for. It was not something that we expected. But the Bible said that God sent His Son. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We did not deserve heaven's best. We did not deserve the gift of God. We were wretched and vile and naked and poor. But God gave us His Son. done so that we could be saved. Aren't you glad this morning that God gave that unsolicited gift? If it was something that we deserved, we'd be dying and going to hell. If it was something that we'd asked for, my friend, we'd still be asking. But God gave His Son. While we were sinners, Christ came and died for our sins. It was an unsolicited gift, but second of all, it was an unlimited gift. There are many department stores, beloved, that you cannot shop at. There are many stores today that you cannot even walk into the doors and feel comfortable. There are those, they tell me, in New York City that there is extremely expensive gifts for the wealthy, extremely expensive presents for those that have a lot of money. But I'm glad to tell you that the gift of God is an unlimited gift. God did not say it's just for the rich. He did not say it's just for the whites. He didn't say it's just for the wealthy. He didn't say it was just for those in America. Thank God that gift that He gave us was unlimited. Oh, think about it. God's Christmas gift is unlimited. John in chapter 3 verse 16 said that God so loved the world. That means everybody in Ramsour. That means everybody in North Carolina. That means everybody in the United States. And yes, everybody in the world. I'm glad that God loved everybody the same way. He didn't pick out the whites and pick out the blacks and pick out the reds and pick out the yellows. But He said salvation is for the world. What a glorious promise of that. That God gave His Son for you, for your children, for my children, for your grandchildren, for the sins of the world. It is an unlimited gift. But number three, it is an unspeakable gift. Paul said it this way. He said in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 15, he said, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Words cannot put it into my mouth. I do not have the vocabulary in order to express what great gift that was. We can talk about it. We can sing about it. We can thank God for it. But my friend, listen, that night the angels announced His birth, heaven rejoiced. Beloved, what a blessed privilege it is to know Him in the free pardon of sin. It is an unspeakable gift. Oh, think about it, that if the angels of heaven could declare unto you, is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. If the angels could announce that with their voices, if they could sing the praises to God with their voices, and yet they know nothing of redemption's story, don't you think that we down here on this earth, we that know of what it means to be saved, we which were lost and undone in our sins, when we accepted Christ as Savior, don't you think we ought to lift our voices? And don't you think we ought to say thank God for His unspeakable gift? Don't you say, oh, thank Jesus that He came into this world and saved this unworthy soul of mine. Thank God that He came. What a blessing that is. But then also it's an unchanging gift. Hebrews chapter number 13 verse 8 says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. What a blessing, that unchanging gift. Times change. Styles change. Oh, listen, somebody was here Wednesday night. I won't call their name, but somebody was here on Wednesday night, and they, you know what they had on? They had on a pair of bell-bottom jeans. Now, I brought back memories, Miss Joanne. How many of you remember back in the 70s? Yeah, Larry's got his hand real high. Hallelujah. I'm in good company. Brother Steve, you remember bell-bottom jeans? Listen, son, I thought, y'all don't have nothing on this preacher this morning. I used to wear them bell-bottoms, checkered bell-bottoms. You need a pair of these. And navy blue and white patent leather heels. Amen. Son, I was dressed down and had the bow tie and the whole nine yards, Brother Wright. I bet you did too, didn't you? But nowadays, if you wore that, James, we'd look like a clown walking around. Not to say I didn't look like one back then, but I thought I was looking good. Amen? Somebody posted some pictures the other day on Facebook. They were celebrating their 30th anniversary, and I looked on there, and the guy that they married, and I thought, my soul, he had on the same kind of outfit I had on, the light blue with the big collar and I said, man, he got that the same store I got that. Styles change, times change, clothing change. But I'm glad to tell you the gift that God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. He'll be in season yesterday. He'll be in season today. He'll be in season tomorrow. When this old world is on fire, thank God He's still remaining the same. When this world starts to go down the tube, He's still the same. When the governments of this world collapse, He's still the same. When all hell breaks loose, He's still the same God. And thank God He'll reign forever. His kingdom will be no end. Times change, people change, styles change. But Jesus Christ is always the same. Then number five, it's an undeserved gift. There's not a soul in here this morning that deserves salvation. If we got what we deserve, you hear me out. If we got what we deserved, we'd all go to hell this morning with a back broke. We'd not have one drop of mercy. We'd be crying out, that's a rich man. Oh, God, give us a drop of water. If we got what we deserved, we'd be languishing in the fires of the damned. But thank God for His unspeakable gift. It was undeserved. I didn't deserve it. But He gave it to me, full and free. You know, sometimes there's a song, Brother Steve, maybe me and you need to learn this sometime. But roll back the memories of the past now and then. I can't remember all the words, but it says, Lord, just help me to remember where You brought me from and where I could have been. Amen? You see, our problem, friend, we get, you know, we sometimes forget. I've been saved since I was 11 years old. We sometimes forget how good we've got it today. And we forget where we could have been. Listen, thank God I didn't end up in drugs. I didn't end up in jail. I didn't end up in alcohol. Thank God for that. Amen. And beloved, God in His great mercy has brought you where you're at. Thank God for that. It's undeserved. There's not a one of us in here this morning that deserves to go to heaven, but it's because of His great love and mercy. Aren't you glad? Now, real quickly, that's the introduction. Let me give you five things real quick in 5 minutes. You say, you'll never do it. I'll try my best. Five things about that gift this morning. Number one, what about that unspeakable gift? What about this gift that He talks about? Number one, what has He given us? If we could go over that Christmas tree this morning, Brother Steve, if we could just pull out some of those presents that God has given me and God has given Joanne and God has given these folks in this building this morning, what would we say? What could we open up? And that first present that I pull out and I pull it open and pull the paper off of it, thank God He's given me a home in heaven. Oh, listen, this world is not my home. I'm only a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. And the angels, they beckon me from heaven's golden shore and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. I'm glad I've got a better place to go to. Thank God I've got a home in heaven that never will be corrupted, that never will need fixing up, that the roof doesn't leak and the walls don't fall tumbling in. It's a home reserved for me in heaven. I've got a home there. You got one there, say amen. Jesus said in John 14, by the way, I like the way the King James reads. I'm a King James man, will have been, will be, and always will be. I like the way it reads. In my Father's house are many what, everybody? Say it real loud. In my Father's house are what? Joanne was playing a while ago. I've got a mansion over the hilltop. What a glorious thought that is. I know there's some translations out there today, some perversions out there today, and they'll say, in my Father's house are many rooms. I want to tell you something. I'm glad He didn't just make me a room. I'm glad He made me a mansion in heaven. And oh, listen, one of these days, when this earthly life is over, I'll drop this robe of flesh. I'll rise, seize my everlasting prize, and I'll be inhabiting my home in heaven. What a blessing that is. But that first gift that He gave me is a home that will not fade away, won't have any termites, won't have any decay, won't have any fire to burn it down, won't have any rot or mold or corruption. It'll be a home perfect, prepared just for me. Second of all, what else did he give me? I'll take that second present. I pull the paper off of it. He gave me peace beyond human understanding. Bible says in John 14:27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. In this world where there is no peace, did you hear what I said? In this world where there is no peace, the Bible said in the last days there'll be wars and rumors of wars, but don't let that shake you up. Don't let that stir you up. There's been wars all through history. There's been fighting going on somewhere all through history. There's been political unrest all over the world in some place. But thank God He's given me peace beyond human understanding. He's given me peace beyond human comprehension. When all the world is going astray, when all the world is crumbling under my feet, when the winds are blowing and the seas are raging, when there's sickness at home, when there's bills to be paid, thank God He gives me peace beyond human understanding. This world doesn't have any peace, my friend. They'll look for it this time of year. I'm going to tell you something. Can I get on my soapbox just a minute? I think it's a shame. This time of year we celebrate the birth of Jesus. We celebrate Him coming into this world. And folks, this time of year just seem like they can't celebrate, some of them, without having a drink of liquor. And I want to tell you something. You'll not find peace in a bottle. You'll not find peace in drugs. You'll not have peace in this world's pleasure. But thank God He gave me peace beyond human understanding. I open that second present up and I find it's peace. Number three, I take that third package He's given me. He's given me a friend that'll never forsake me. Bible said in Proverbs 18:24, there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I'm going to be honest with you, folks. I'm just sharing a little of my heart sometime. I'm human just like you are. I won't ask you to raise your hand, but I'd venture to say everybody in here, if you're an adult, and probably some young folks too, you know what it is to have a friend to turn against you. Somebody that you put your confidence in. I mean, listen, I could go into detail this morning. I'm not. But folks, that people I've tried to help the most, Brother Steve, sometimes they seem like they hurt you the most. There was a fellow one time, didn't have an automobile. I gave him an automobile. Wasn't no fancy car. It was a pretty nice car. But I gave it to him. But he was one of the very ones that stood up against me in a church service. Oh, you say, preacher, how'd you... Oh, that hurt. That hurt. I've had folks to look at me in the face, Brother Rodney, and I've had them to say to me, preacher, I'll never do anything that would hurt you. Better watch that. Amen? Better watch that. The very ones that say that, turn around, put a knife in your back. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Amen? And there are folks out yonder today that's got their eyes on other people. Some folks have hurt them. Some folks have lied to them. Some folks that, listen, you know what? It's sad to say, but some of the lost crowd at yonder treat you better than some Christians will sometimes. Say amen right there. Y'all know what I'm talking about? But listen, that hadn't deterred me. It's sometimes disappointing. Sometimes it hurts. Sometimes it pierces. But thank God there's a friend that'll stick by me through thick and thin, through all the troubles and trials of life. There's a friend, the Lord Jesus. And thank God there's a friend that'll go with you all the way to the end. Amen. Fourth of all, what else has He given me? He's given me the Spirit of God that sealed me to the day of redemption. Bible said in Ephesians 4:30, and grieve not the Holy Ghost of God, the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Our little granddaughter's not here today. They didn't make it today. But I was picking her yesterday. She's sitting on the couch beside me. And I was doing this number. You know what she's doing? She looks up at me and she's... Do that to them. Amen. Do you realize that when you got saved, the Bible said we are sealed to the day of redemption.
How many of you in here did some canning during the summer? Raise your hand. You did some canning. Hold them up high. Amen. If you're not ashamed. Only two or three of you did. I was hoping it'd be more than that. I'd make my rounds, but it... We hadn't done any in a long time, but when we used to do canning, when we used to have a garden and we'd raise stuff and can it, I remember back in them days, you'd set them out and you'd listen for a pop, wouldn't you? You'd listen for that seal to take a hold. You'd set them seven jars out there after you put them in a pressure canner and you'd count them off. One, two, three. Till all of them sealed. Am I not right? Say amen. But all the time, sometime you'd get a group and you'd go through and you'd count them down. One, two, three, four, five, six. And that seventh one didn't seal. You know what you'd have to do? Y'all know, you'd have to open it up and go ahead and use it because it didn't seal. It won't be no good. But honey, once they sealed, they were good for a long time. And thank God when we got saved, there was a seal put on us in heaven. And no demon of hell, no devil of hell can get to the child of God, even though he fights, even though he tries. Thank God we are sealed to the day of redemption. The only one that's going to break the seal is the Lord Jesus Christ. I've been sealed. And then last of all, he's given me a hope beyond the grave. This is a tough time of year for some folks. I know that. It's a tough time of year. This will be the first Christmas for some folks that the table will not be complete. There'll be an empty spot. This will be the first Christmas for some folks that will sit down on Christmas Day and dad won't be there, or granddad won't be there, or their mother won't be there. This will be a sad time for some folk. But my friend, can I tell you something? For the child of God, we have a hope that goes beyond the grave. That if in this life we have hope only, Paul said, we are of all men most miserable. But I'm glad to tell you this morning, when I open that present up, I've got a box of hope. I've got a gift of hope that God has given to me. Thank God. A hope that goes beyond the grave. That even though I say goodbye over here, it's hello over yonder. And to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. What a hope that is. And a blessed hope that one of these days, I believe it won't be long, I believe that the Lord is coming back again. Amen. I believe the trump of God's going to sound. The dead in Christ are going to rise. The living's going to be changed. And we're going out of here. Sad part is not everybody has that hope. Spoke to a lady on the phone this week. In the course of conversation, I didn't know her. I told her what my name was, and she said, Thacker, are you kin to Leilani Rickman? I said, that was my cousin. How do you know Leilani's in heaven? How did you know her? And she went on to tell me how she knew my cousin. And she said, you've got a sister. It lives in Burlington. I said, I did, but she lives in heaven now. And this lady started talking about death, and she said, I told my mother, she said, it's not time for you to die just yet, Mom, because we hadn't figured this thing out yet. She said, tell me, I don't understand, when a person dies, does their body and their soul just lay in the grave until one day? I told my mom, I hadn't figured this out, so she can't die until we figure this out. I said, ma'am, according to the Bible said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. If you know Christ, when you breathe your last breath down here, you breathe your first breath over yonder. And she said, I hadn't figured this thing out yet. I said, listen, either the soul will live on. When you die and they put your body in the ground, listen, my friend, when they put your body in the ground, thank God that is not me, that is not you, that is not our loved ones, that's only a shell, only a tabernacle. They are in the presence of God. If they're saved by the glorious grace of God, what a privilege and a hope that is. It goes beyond the grave. Amen. A hope. Steadfast and sure. Have you figured that one out yet? If you were to go under that tree this morning and there's these presents, the first present is this: I give unto you eternal life. There's a present that says, for whosoever will may open it up take of it. Drink of the water of life freely, for I give to all people. Have you taken that gift? Have you got that peace beyond human understanding? Is your life in shambles and wrecks this morning? Have you got that home in heaven that the Bible tells us about? Have you got the Spirit of God that lives inside of you this morning that has sealed you to the day of redemption? Can you say this morning, I got a friend that sticketh closer than a brother? When all the world turns against me, my friends turn against me, my family turns against me, I've got a friend that'll never turn against me. God's got some gifts for you today. He wants you to take them. He wants you to open them up. They're yours just for the taking.